is great to see everybody here today. You know what? I was born and raised in the state of Indiana, and I'm still, you know, I still have, you know, kind of a loyalty and fond memories of my home state. But you know what? If you cut me, I bleed Iowa. That's what I bleed. I've been here for 33 years, and I am a true Iowan now. Our kids were all born in Iowa. We are from Iowa. And sometimes that Iowa pride comes out more strongly, and this week was one of those weeks. Somehow, a friend of mine who I went to college with in Indiana, we were texting back and forth. He still lives there. And we somehow got off on the topic of pigs and state fairs. He had the audacity to send me a picture of the big pig from Indiana. Here it is. Please. Really? Wow. I immediately texted back to him, our pig. I said, your Indiana pig is so puny. Our big pig is over 250 pounds bigger than your Indiana pig. When it comes to pork, do not mess with Iowa, right? Let's give it up. Come on now. And yeah, that was the deal. And you know, some swelling with Iowa pride over this. And then this story comes out in the national news. I don't know if you caught this. At the state fair it happened. But here it is. Tiara wearing Iowa pork queen lends a hand to help struggling sow give birth at state fair. A Gracie Griner, the reigning Iowa pork queen, reaches in to a struggling sow to assist her in this sow giving birth to her piglets. And so they got a bigger picture of that there. There she is. And wow, she is elbow deep in this pig, and she is interviewed, and she says, I love pulling piglets. Because this is what I love to do. And she's going to be a student at Iowa State University, majoring in animal science. She wants to be a veterinarian. Here she is, a Gracie Griner. There's her picture. And this is what I love about Iowa. Our royalty are not afraid to roll up their sleeves, get their hands dirty, and bring home the bacon. That's what I'm talking about, guys. Can we give it up one more time for the great state of Iowa? Yeah. So during that week especially, and really all year long, Gracie Griner, one word will be associated with her, and that is pork. She's the pork queen, and that's awesome. That's why I love Iowa. Well, today I want to talk to you in a more serious vein, and hopefully a joyful vein as well, about one word, your life in one word. Today, if you were to describe your life, I'm not talking about your occupation or your position or you know, what you are, but just describe an adjective or a phrase that describes your life. One word. What would that word be? In your worship folder, you can write it in, actually. Your life in one word. I am so, a lot of people answer it, busy. I am so busy. I am so overwhelmed. Some people would write, I am so successful. I am so happy. I am so sad. I'm so disappointed. I'm so excited. I'm so angry. I'm so bored. What is the word that would describe your life in one word? I want you to think about it. Today, God has something in mind for you that is likely very different than the one word you just chose. And it's not a common word, but it's a word that we're going to learn today. Super important to describe your life. And to do that, we're going to read a passage in the Gospel of John, which is a biography of Jesus written by his closest friend, John. And we've made our way through this book. Now we're at John chapter 15. You have a Bible, you can turn there. You can Google John 15. You can download the YouVersion, YOUVersion app. Follow along on the screens. It's there, John 15. I'm going to read the whole passage here. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes and prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So I don't know what the one word you use to describe your life, I am so, but God has a word for you from this passage that he wants you to be able to fill in, that you are so, what's the word? It's fruitful. You are so fruitful. Now that's not a word that you commonly, how are you doing today? Well, I'm so fruitful. That sounds weird. But you know what? You read this passage and you get where he's going with this. What does it mean to be fruitful? And Bible scholars and teachers have debated about what he actually means by fruit. What's this fruit that we're supposed to be producing? And some have said it's faith in Jesus and following him in obedience. Others have said it's integrity and a life of goodness and truth. Others have said, well, it's obviously the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want those things to be overflowing as the fruit of my life. Others have said it's loving God, loving one another, loving our neighbors. Some have said it's living with real joy and gratitude. Still others say it's believing in the truths of what Jesus is teaching and living it out. Others, it's teaching the truths. That's your bearing fruit by teaching others. Some have said it's sharing the good news with others or helping friends and family come to faith in Jesus. It's the fruit of new people that you're influencing. So which one is it? I mean, it's a big, long list. Which one is it? And the answer, of course, is yes. It's all of those. When Jesus is talking about fruit, he says this vital connection. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, in other words, you stay in close personal connection to me on a daily basis. You're living in me. You're staying close to me in vibrant personal fellowship with Jesus. He said, you're going to see fruit in your life. You're going to be a fruitful person. All those things I just mentioned are going to be the results that you see happening in your life. So the goal that God has for my life and for your life is to be fruitful, to see incredible results from a personal connection and relationship with Jesus. Now, immediately, this changes the equation. In our culture, the questions that people ask us to see how our lives are going are the questions I secretly ask myself. If I'm in a group of people, what are the questions we say in our culture? First thing is, what do you do? How can I measure you up by what your occupation is? Or how much money do you make? We wouldn't be so forward to do that, but we're trying to figure that out. Do you have any petty honors that you can impress me with? You know, where should I fit? Where do I fit in on the social pecking order, right? I mean, I'm in this group. Where do I fit in? Can you tell me any witty stories that could make me laugh? Will you agree with me and give me what I want? And if you do, I will like you. Will you like my post on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook? Will you like that? Don't I know you? Are you somebody important? Do you know who I am? I am very important. Do those clothes you're wearing have the proper labels? Are you pretty or handsome? I like beautiful people. Are you smart? I like to associate with intelligent people, with intellectuals. Are you famous? If so, may I have your autograph? All of those questions are common. We ask them secretly or in groups or in our culture. But the real question that God asks us is, are you fruitful? Are you seeing really good fruit of your life? In fact, it's all of these things and more. So it changes the equation, guys, because fruit, how many of you like at least one fruit? Raise your hand, okay? Yeah, most people like fruit. A lot of us like a lot of fruit, lots of different types of fruit. Why? Because fruit is delicious. Because fruit is awesome, it's nourishing, it's healthy. And so we love fruit, it's great, okay? So the beauty of fruit is that what? It not only feeds me, here's my little basket of fruit. It not only feeds me, but it also feeds other people. So imagine I'm meeting you and, you know, I can offer you fruit, right? See, so typically in the culture, what we're doing is we're approaching people and what do we have in our hands? Our, help me out. Our phone, our cell phone. And that really, you know, here I am walking up to you. It's like, hey, how you doing? Wait a minute, just got to check this. So, you're not important. I have nothing to give to you. Or worse, we come up with this deal, right? And it's like, here I am. It's like, no, this is my better side, you know, right? There we go, right? It's all about me. Or we come up with, you know, work stuff. We got this hammer. It's like, I gotta get stuff done. I'm busy, or I'm angry, right? You know, what does that communicate? Or hey, I'm trying to impress you, guys. Here's my trophy. We don't literally carry around trophies, at least not most of us. But guys, did you know that I was once second runner-up in the sixth grade spelling bee? Thank you. That's awesome. Yes, I was. Cheated out of it. But I got a trophy. And I'm happy about it. Are you impressed? Because we secretly do this all the time. Are you impressed with my life, my accomplishments, things? And then flip that around, guys. What if I came to people and I had something to offer them? Fruit. Like good stuff. And nobody turns this down. Hey, you want a banana? You know, you want some grapes here? Here we go. That looks good. You, how about a peach? Just succulent, delicious, amazing. It's got all those things. And suddenly we flip it around, and suddenly I have something to offer, and it's healthy, and it's delicious, and it's inviting, and it's tasty, and it's good. In fact, James says about, in a similar line, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who really stands out? Let them show it by their good life. Not my trophies, my good life, by deeds done in the humility, or the word actually is gentleness that comes from wisdom. And suddenly I don't have to impress you. Suddenly I don't have to defeat you or control you. Instead, suddenly I'm gentle, I'm wise. I learned about how life works, and I know I make mistakes, and we're all in this together. And suddenly there's wisdom in the way that I interact with people. He goes on in James 3:17 to say, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, from like if you would remaining in the vine, is first of all pure. It's ethical. It has good motivations. It's peace loving, working with others. It's considerate. Boy, is that unusual in our culture? Like, how would this make this person feel? Or how would this build this person up? Submissive doesn't mean you're a doormat. It just means you don't have to be in control. God's in control, and I can follow him. I can let him be in control of my life. Full of mercy, that's rare in this world. And what else? Good fruit. Full of good fruit. Impartial, fair, sincere, authentic. That's what we want our lives to be at life. And how do you get that life? Well, you get that life by remaining in the vine. So let's come to this passage. Your life is God intended. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Let's get this straight from the beginning. Jesus is the true vine. I'm not the vine, Jesus is the vine. And that means he's what? If you're the vine and others are the branches, that means you're the source of life. You're the life giver. You're the nurturing vine to all the other branches. So the first question I have for you today is this. It's a simple question. And it's this: who or what is your vine? Who or what are you looking to nurture you, to nourish you, to help you be healthy? For a lot of people, it's something other than Jesus, the true vine. It's like, I'm depending on my career to feed me, to nurture me, to make me feel important and special. Or my relationship. It's like, if this one relationship could just turn out well, then that would mean I would be successful, and that would mean I matter. Or maybe it's family or kids, and they're great, but we're depending on them to be the life givers. And if something goes sideways with that, suddenly we're devastated. Or money, or success, or popularity. I don't know what it is. But we depend on these things. We lean into them to try to make us feel important and significant. And Jesus says, I'm your vine. The only true vine is Jesus. The rest are just pretenders and fakes and posers and false vines. They're not all bad. They're great. They're just not the true vine. They're not life givers, ultimate life givers. And then he says, my father is a gardener. So write this down. The father is a gardener. And suddenly I can rest in Jesus and who he is and the father to what? Care for me, love me, take care of me. This is what gardeners do. They love their stuff. How many of you are gardeners? They're like your baby. You love them. You take care of them. You nurture them. That's what God does. And we're his, Jesus is his vine. He cares for the vine, his son. And he takes care of us. That's what he says here. And then he says, you are the branch, right? You're one of the branches, which means what? You're not the vine. You don't have to be the life-giving life source for your life. Someone else is. You're not the gardener. Someone else is going to watch over you, take care of you, and help you to be fruitful. You are the branch. So God's goal, write this in, God's goal for our life is fruitfulness. He says in verse 2, every branch in me, that's anybody who's a follower of Jesus, believes in Jesus, that does not produce, he removes and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. What's God's ultimate goal for my life and yours? To produce more fruit, better results out of this life-giving relationship so that we can be ourselves nourished, but also be a blessing to other people. So God's work among the branches is twofold. It's either removal or pruning. So God says in verse 2, Jesus says, every branch of me that does not produce fruit, he removes. So this is getting rid of the dead wood. If you're taking care of the branch, the vines, you take out the dead wood, you remove that. Now, I think likely these are people that are kind of hanging around Jesus, kind of nominally religious, but they're not, have no vital connection. Eventually, they're dead, and he removes them. In fact, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this way. He confronted them on their outward show of religiosity and piety, but inwardly, they were dead. They rejected Jesus. They had no connection to Jesus at all. At one point, he confronted him in Matthew's gospel, chapter 14. The disciples came up to him afterwards and said, Jesus, did you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard what you said? And Jesus is like, duh, yeah. Of course they're offended because I confronted them about their emptiness. He replied, quote, every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. So he's cleaning house. He's saying, away with the hypocrisy and just the, I just do this for show. We're going to get rid of all that. It's possible that it could refer to the kind of the dead wood in our lives. It's just cluttering up our lives. He removes those things sometimes from our life. That's possible. Although I think it's more likely he's talking about the whole vineyard and he's removing those kind of dead branches that really don't have any life in them. But then he prunes, he says, he prunes every branch that produces fruit. So it produces some fruit already, it's fruitful, so that it will produce more fruit. God our Father is personally involved in our lives. He is pruning your life because you have some fruit. You've shown some fruit of your relationship with Jesus. You love God. You're kind to somebody. You live with integrity. But God wants even more fruit in your life. And so he does this pruning. I don't know much about gardening. I know tiny, tiny little bit about pruning. Okay, if you're pruning a vine, you know, God is not going to come after us with this to prune the vine, right? You know, or a chainsaw or something. No, he's going to come carefully. I got to think we got a picture of it. Come carefully with some pruning shears, right? And he's going to carefully trim from the branches what is not fruitful, right? They call them sucker branches because they suck life from the rest of the fruit. So they get rid of those because they're just sucking life out of you. So God comes into our lives, and how does he do this? Through, The platform is no longer perfect. It's got a huge gouge in it now. Okay. Got to prune it. Okay, anyway, so he takes these things out of our lives that are just taking life away from us. But But guys, pruning is often happens through hardship, through difficulty, through unexpected trials, through challenges. We grow through those. I hate that. That's what it takes in my life, but it's true. I don't really grow that much when just everything's going great. I grow through learning and through challenges, sometimes through opportunities that God gives that can be overwhelming, but he helps me to lean into him. All right, you with me? So let me say a few things about pruning. Pruning is a painful process because there's a cutting away of things that can cause me not to be fruitful. Now, understand, it always involves some pain. But there's a difference between pain that hurts you and pain that harms you. Pain that hurts you is temporary, it's not going to last forever, and it really is meant for your benefit ultimately. Pain that harms you actually breaks you down, I mean, and actually destroys a part of who you are, and God is not attempting to do that. So God's doing a work in your life, and maybe you're going through that right now. Maybe it's a family thing or a financial thing or an emotional thing or a health thing. I don't know what that thing is, but it's pruning, and it's making you stronger so that you can be more fruitful. Here's another thing I've learned about pruning, and I've gone through it. We all do. Pruning is a never-ending process, right? It's not like the vine's like, okay, now we never have to prune it again. No, it's a living thing. It's always growing. It's always having to be pruned. You have to take care of it. That's what the Father does. He prunes us continually. It's a never-ending process. It never ends. And I live in this world, in my mind, maybe you're like me. I think, you know, eventually what's going to happen is I'm going to get through all the pruning, and then it's going to be over, and then it's going to get easy. And life is going to get easy. And my experience is that never really happens. My wife Ruth and I were talking this week about this very thing. And we she mentioned something was going on. And I said, you know what? I got three words. It's always something. It's always something. Say that with me. It's always something. One more time. It's always something. It's like you just got through this trial and things are kind of picking up. And then something blurts out over here and you got to deal with that. And then that you get through that, and you know, God sees you through that, and then life's okay for a little bit, and then something else comes out in a totally different area, and you weren't expecting it. And I'm telling you, it's always something, guys, because we live in a fallen world. We need to be more fruitful, and God's going to keep pruning us, so it's always going to be something. Ruth and I were talking about this, and we look back on the course of our 37 years of marriage, and we finally determined, you know what? We look over the past of our 37 years together, and you know what? There were 2 weeks in July of 1995 that were just amazing. I mean, we actually picked out the weeks, and our kids were little, and we were at Mount Hermon, this Christian camp in California. It was amazing. The kids were having a blast at camp. We were there. We could spend time with our kids. We could spend time with friends and new friends. We could get this Bible teaching. We could have activities. It was in a beautiful setting in the Redwoods. I mean, it was 2 weeks, and it was just glorious. July 1995. Wow, we're hanging on to it, man. It's all awesome. But the rest of the 37 years, it's always something. And don't get me wrong. We're happy people. We're joy-filled Christians. We love God and we enjoy life. But we've understood that there's always going to be challenges. And a lot of Christians get surprised by this because they don't know that the Father prunes our branches so we'll be more fruitful. So when the trial comes, they're thrown off and they're like, did I do something wrong? Or does God not love me? No, God loves you. That's why this is happening, so you can be even more fruitful. That's how we grow. Pruning is also for all his branches. It's not for some of his branches, it's for all of his branches. I applied for an exemption. I was rejected. It was denied by God. The culture constantly tells us, no, you don't have to go through hardship. Life can be easy. Just get this, just buy this, just put this in your hair, just wear this, just do this, and life will be easy. In my family room, there is a chair that I love. It is a chair that reclines. It has those legs, the feet that just kind of, you know, go up. It's got cushions in it. And you know what it's called? The name of that chair? It's called a Fruitful Boy. That's what it's called. Fruitful Boy. right? No, it's not. You know what it's called? What's it called? Lazy boy. And God is saying, that isn't a picture of the Christian life. That's lazy boy. Quentin, you're going to be fruitful boy. And that means life is not going to be a lazy boy recliner. There's going to be challenges and hardships and difficulties all the time. Also, pruning is for all areas of life. It's for your character and your workplace and for your relationships, your family, your physical health, your spiritual life, your relationships, your emotional life, your financial life, your community life, ministry, serving others, involvement in other people's lives, loving our community. It's all there. All of it gets pruned. But pruning, the last thing I'll say about pruning has a purpose. See, when God prunes me and God prunes you, and you're going through something right now, maybe a lot of you, there's a purpose in it. God is not punishing you. He is pruning you so that you can be even more fruitful, so that you can say, I am so fruitful. Now, sometimes when we hear this and God starts pruning, some of the disciples are like, this bad thing is happening. Is something wrong with me? And Jesus has to reassure them in verse 3. He says, no, there's nothing wrong. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. No, you're my followers. I've spoken a word. The word is the good news of Jesus. The word is his forgiveness. The word is his healing power. The word is his love for us. I've spoken that word to you and you're clean. It's all good. You're a part of my forever family and nothing is ever going to change that. For anybody who's crossed that line of faith and come to faith in Jesus, he says, you're clean. You're already clean. These things happen not because you're bad or not my children, because you're already clean, but I want you to be more fruitful. Now, for some today, you may say, I don't know if I'm already clean. I don't know if I've crossed the line of faith today. Perhaps Jesus is calling out to you and speaking the word to you today, and he's saying, trust in me. And you can say, I want to know you as my vine, and you can be one of his branches. Trust in him today. For those of us who cross that line of faith, the secret to fruitfulness is remaining in vital connection to Jesus. He says in verse 4, remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. It's all about this, stay close to Jesus, right? You know, I am trying to produce this fruit in my life. I want results. I want good stuff. I want life to, you know, be impactful. But when I try to do that apart from Jesus, I really don't get anywhere. When I try to do that in my own strength and my own smarts and my own life strength, I get worn out. I get nasty. I get grumpy. At best, one guy said, at best, what we end up doing apart from Jesus is duct taping plastic fruit to a dead tree. I like that metaphor so much that I actually made one. Okay? So here we go. Here is duct taping plastic fruit to a dead tree. How beautiful is that? Isn't it? That's my life. No, that's not what I want my life to be about, all right? So let's take it a different direction. He repeats it. The relationship with Jesus is everything. He has to drive this point home because I miss it. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. I'm the vine. I'm the life-giving source. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces a little bit of fruit. No, much fruit, more fruitful, because you can do nothing without me. So, you know, here's the thing. Here's my picture of my life, right? And it's fruitful. You know, I got some fruit here to give to others and so forth. That's fantastic. It's great. You know, nothing wrong with that, I guess. But Jesus says, here's what I want your life to be more like. This is what I want it to be. I want you to be like your life to be very fruitful. Can you imagine how many people you can feed with this? And nourish with this. And if this were a picture of my life, what my life in Christ is like, that's what he wants my life to be. Really fruitful. Note he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You are the branches. The word you is plural, y'all. are the branches. This means it's not an individual sport, it's a team sport. We do this together. We're all branches together. That's why we encourage you, get in a life group, get in a small group, get connected with other believers. And by the way, today I want to just spend a little bit of time, just a couple minutes, a few minutes here, just talking about Alpha. Because Alpha for a lot of people is a great starting point in their journey. We offer that. It's an 11-week course that features some fantastic a meal and videos and the discussion. And I want to just share a little bit about that with you. And we're going to show a video here, and we're going to have some of our Alpha. If you've been in Alpha, come on up on the platform. We want to kind of celebrate together. Be careful. Let's watch this together. Come on up, Alpha.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
Arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with, is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
That's our purpose, that's our meaning, that's our hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Is a place where you can be yourself, you can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple, and what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith and meaning.
So guys, that's a little overview of Alpha, and these are some of our Alpha alums. Can we cheer for these guys? Yeah, good job. All right. And Vernon Del Paz is the leader of Alpha. And Vernon, how many people, we've only been doing Alpha a short time here at Valley. How many people have already gone through Alpha?
You know, we've had 150 go through so far. We had 50 in our first session last fall, and we had 100 in the spring. And we hope to have more this time.
That's fantastic. So what happens at the typical Alpha? You walk in, and what happens?
Well, first of all, we have really good food. It's done by a chef, so we have good food, and then we have a talk.
Okay, stop. Okay, did you catch that? Good food, free meal from a chef, the Alpha chef. And it is amazing. I've had it.
Is it amazing, guys? Yeah. They many of these are coming back just for the food. You know?
Exactly.
We eat a meal together. Then we have great teaching. Most of it is done by video. Some of the same people that you saw on the video here. And then table group discussion. And so very rich table group discussion in small groups, and you get a chance to really be open and honest, and it's in a very relaxed environment, and so people really enjoy that and really build community.
And the thing about Alpha 2 is that it's for people who maybe want to get started and ask some questions about their Christian faith. But there's also a place for people who are spiritual explorers. They have not yet trusted in Christ. They're not sure about Christianity. Some even skeptics or doubters that have questions. And we love those folks at Alpha, and they come. And it's a great place for them to ask questions in a safe place and an environment that is very inviting. Okay, so when does Alpha start?
It will start September 9th, so in a couple of weeks, and it's from 6 to 7:30 each Monday.
So it's a Monday night thing. It just does 90 minutes, great food, great video teaching, and very interactive table discussions. It's fantastic. And these folks are, you know, are you happy with Alpha? Was it a good experience? Yeah. Okay, guys. So I want to tell you, we're going to, you know, some of you are like, hey, that sounds interesting. Sign up. Go to the atrium display. You can sign up on your community card today. Go to the atrium display. Some of these folks will be out there to just welcome you and answer your questions about Alpha. They'll be right out there in the atrium. And the other thing I would mention is that, you know, some of you are like, well, you know, I've been a follower of Christ for some time now. Then guys, what you need to do is find that person in your life who has questions about Christianity and invite them to come. You kind of take them with you and say, I'll go with you and sit with you. You have that person. You've been there, that one life that God's been putting in your pathway. It'd be great. And we have a little video to show you that explains how you can be an inviter to Alpha. Let's check it out. And one more time, let's say thanks to these guys. Great job. I'll let you take a seat now. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. That's great. Let's watch that video.
We all have that person in our lives. That neighbor we pass by every day outside our homes. That coworker we see at the office 5 days a week. Or those friends we catch up with every once in a while. People we wish could know and experience the love of God. How do we share it? Where do we even start? Deep inside, we know that it'll cost us something to open up our lives and share our faith. It takes time, vulnerability, sacrifice, the risk of rejection. But this is our call, to open our lives and to share Christ with the people close to us. Because it's only through opening your life up that spaces for honest conversations are possible. Spaces where people can truly be themselves and explore the deepest parts of life with people they know and trust. That's why we're running Alpha. It's a course over several weeks where you can invite your friends to explore life's biggest questions over a meal. It's a chance for you to invite that person into an honest conversation about faith. Because when it's hard to find the moment, or the words, or the courage, you can simply invite. Alpha, who will you invite?
Our Alpha courses have had people from 18 years old to 75 years old. It's for everybody. We have a huge mix of ages and backgrounds, and it's just amazing. So please check that out, get involved, and make it a point to make this bold step of faith this fall. Also, I want to mention the Good for All conference coming up in about a month. If you haven't gotten signed up for that, it's all about being a fruitful Christian and impacting the people around us and being good for all. That's what that's about, being a fruitful Christian who can give that to others. On the other side of that, Jesus has a warning. He says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. It's a stern warning to those who feel that they can come to know God, that they can pursue fruitfulness, and that they can do life apart from Jesus. They don't need Jesus to do that. And he says they're bound for fire. It's a sobering reality there. But he has a better thing in mind for us. Your life can flourish in God's provision. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. An incredible promise. Read it And this is from last weekend. We talked about a very similar verse at last chapter. And basically what it's saying, it's not a blank check from Jesus. It's not a credit card. It's not a health and wealth gospel. What it is saying, marinate your life in the Word of God. Saturate your life in the words of Jesus. Live in line with his name, his reputation, his ways, and say, that's what I want my life to be about, Jesus. I want to live life like you taught. And when you begin to ask God in that way, he will answer your prayers. He is delighted to say yes to those prayers. I want to live life, Jesus, as you intended. He will always hear those prayers. And then your life matters to God. Your life matters to God. And it can make a difference to others. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. How do you do this, practically speaking? This is not some weird mystical experience being in the vine. It's just practical living. It's prioritizing Jesus. It's remaining in close personal touch with Jesus Christ. Another pastor has said, abiding in Christ is kind of like how you really do live life with your smartphone. I mean, you wake up in the morning and what do? You reach for your smartphone. And throughout the day, you're checking it. You're checking in with your smartphone constantly. And heaven forbid that you should lose your smartphone. I mean, you lose your smartphone, it's the worst day of the year. I mean, it's panic. Where's my phone? And he's saying, that's okay. But what if Jesus became a vine like that? What if Jesus was the one that you constantly were consulting with and looking to and asking and checking in with and following and GPSing and you just, whatever it had to be, you had to keep in contact with Jesus. How do you do that? Obviously through daily spiritual formation, just day by day, taking time to be in God's word, praying, talking to Jesus, weekly worship. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but God bless you for being here today. So many people in our culture are not prioritizing this time together. In fact, it's shown even among regular churchgoers today, people make it to about 40% of the weekend worship services. They only show up 40% of the time. So they're there on average 22 out of 52 weeks. They actually miss more weekends of worship than they make because of all the other distractions. Sports, activities, and job stuff, and vacations, and so forth. And I get all those, and those are great. But he's saying prioritize the time with the other branches and the vine. Fellowship with other believers in a small group, like Life Group or Alpha. And even serving others and loving others with Jesus' power can be a life-giving way of abiding in Jesus. And even giving. When we give, we show that we're depending on Jesus. In fact, he even says, give your first fruits to him. Your life matters to God. And he says, by this, my Father is glorified that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. God gets glorified when I am very fruitful, when you are very fruitful, and people see that we are fruitful because we are followers of Jesus. So drawing it all together and landing it. My Father is glorified, verse 8. He is exalted, he's magnified, he's shown to be great and awesome and amazing and good. His fame is spread, more people praise him and adore him by this, that you produce much fruit. When you're fruitful, God gets glorified. When we are overflowing with the good fruit of joy and love and peace and hope and goodness and good works and thanksgiving and spiritual influence, it makes a difference. And he says, you prove to be my disciples. People eventually say, why is it that you're like that? Why is it that you have this fruit in your life? And you can just simply say, well, by the grace of God, I'm just trying to follow Jesus. And that made all the difference. Father, sometimes I make it so complicated. And yet you just strip it all down and you say, son, daughter, here it is. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me and you'll bear much fruit. And all God's people agreed and said, amen.